Welcome to My Father's House Podcast, Episode 215, From Breakthrough to Victory. Pastor Harley Kolderman delivered this message on Sunday, September 26th, 2021, in Fort Wayne, Indiana.
Well, let's pray. Father, thank you for your word, which never returns empty. Thank you, Father God, that besides never returning empty, it always accomplishes what you please, and it always prospers where you send it. So we open our hearts today to you, Lord. We ask you to cause the ground of our hearts to be good ground, fertile ground, ground that produces, Lord. Seed of the word goes in, let it bring a mighty harvest in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. As Sarah mentioned, I'm speaking today about from breakthrough to victory. So first of all, every believer is called to be a disciple of Jesus. Making a disciple for me or disciple for any of our cell leaders, this is about disciples for Jesus. He uses people, he uses leaders, he uses leadership, he uses his structure, apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, teachers, to edify or build up the body, and to equip the body for the work of the ministry. Now, it's that equipping process that's really, really the target of discipleship. If you want to really be equipped for the work of the ministry, just become a disciple. Allow somebody to speak into your life. Allow somebody to minister into your life the things that you need for life and godliness. Now, there's a lot of things, you know, we think that we want, but it's more important to get what you need. Now, God is not against you getting some things that you want, because the word says in Mark 11:24, whatever things you desire, believe that you receive them and you shall have them, right? Yes. So that's like having a Visa, American Express. That's better than Visa or American Express. Amen. Whatever things you desire, when you pray, believe that you receive them and you shall have them. There doesn't seem to be any limits on, you know, what you could desire, what you could have. I mean, the assumption is that you're a believer in Jesus, you're a follower of Jesus, and you're not going to want and desire things that are outside of the Word of God or would be harmful to you. Amen. You know, more drugs or better liquor or, you know, something like that, you know. I guess God believes you have a head on your shoulders, and you should use your head. Amen. You should use your intelligence, and you should be smart enough to pursue the things of God and want and desire the things that are godly. Amen. The things that pertain to God, life and godliness. But every believer is called to be a disciple of Jesus. And a disciple is a person, is a follower who emulates his mentor, his teacher. The disciples of Jesus, they followed Jesus, and they began to become like that Jesus whom they followed. They began to do the works that he did. They began to say the words that he said. They began to, I wouldn't say imitate, but emulate the kind of ministry that he portrayed. And they went about doing good with him. They began to get results. We know from the Bible that they were excited when demons would come out of people when they spoke to them. And so we know that they got the same results that Jesus got when he sent them out two by two to do ministry before he went into certain cities. So the reality is that even Jesus was totally dependent on his Father for direction. He said in one occasion that he only spoke what he heard his Father say. He only did the things that he saw his Father do. So he was dependent. He was not a loose cannon out there somewhere doing whatever he wanted to do whenever he wanted to do it. Just wake up in the morning and think, I think I want to go minister over in Nazareth today. He was dependent on leadership and direction from the Father, and he followed him closely. Acts 10:38 said how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power, who went about doing good, healing all that were oppressed of the devil, because God was with him. So if he was anointed with the Holy Spirit and power prior to him going about doing good, healing all that were oppressed of the devil, and doing it because God was with him, that means he was following the leadership of his Father. He was following the directions that he was receiving from the Holy Spirit, from the Father, through the Holy Spirit into his life. So that gives us a clue on how we can be a really awesome disciple of Jesus, a follower of Jesus, is to emulate what he taught his disciples and to begin to move and act and be like them. So like Jesus, we need to be totally dependent on the Holy Spirit speaking to us and directing us. Now, in John chapter 16, let's just read this and then I'll do something to illustrate this. John 16, verse 12, Jesus said, "There is so much more I want to tell you, but you can't bear it now." So sometimes, you know, we'd like to get the word of God by the fire hose and then walk away from that place and just, now I've got it. But the Bible says that faith comes by hearing and hearing comes from the word of God. So you could say it this way: faith comes from continually hearing the word of God. It doesn't come from having heard the word of God. And that's a mistake a lot of people make. You know, I used to have people in my cell group, one gentleman in particular, every time I would teach on any subject or minister on any subject, he would say, "I know that." The only problem was he didn't have any of it working for him. None of it was working in his life. And one day he came to me and he said, "You know, Pastor, I've been telling you I know all this stuff, but none of it's working for me. What's the problem?" What the problem was is he maybe intellectually knew it because he had heard it. He maybe hasn't received from it and maybe was even growing by it. But there was a lot of it that was missing. It was in his head, but missing his heart. So, you know, we have to be the kind of follower that's, you know, going to be kind of like the dog with the bone that he won't let go. You know, those of you who are pet lovers and you love dogs, you know, one of the things that's fun is just playing with them, give them something and then letting them pull, you know, but they won't let go. They just clamp down. You should be like that as a disciple of Jesus when it comes to the word of God. You should not let go. You should just keep chewing, 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 biting down, grabbing a hold, and living the things that you're beginning to learn. So in this verse it says, there's so much more that I want to tell you, but you can't bear it now. So sometimes if someone were to give you the whole thing, you couldn't swallow it. You wouldn't be able to digest it. So we can't teach the whole Bible in one session. We can't teach the whole heart of God in one session. I mean, it's a lifetime quest to get the heart of God. So you get some here a little, there a little, line upon line, precept upon precept, and that's how we take in the word of God. Then verse 13 says, "When the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all truth. He will not speak on his own, but he will speak to you what he has heard. He will tell you about the future." Isn't that awesome? Yeah. When the Spirit comes. Now, has he come or hasn't he come? He's come, right? Yeah. And you've received him, right? Yeah. So you should be hearing from him, right?
That's right.
It says, when he comes, he will guide you into all truth. Now, that would be pretty awesome, right? Because sometimes we've missed the truth. And many of us have followed some lies, maybe for a long time. Somehow that has to be undone in our lives. And the truth has to replace where the lie was. Amen? Because that's how we live and that's how we grow and that's how we become mature in the things of God. So it says, then he will tell you about the future. That would be awesome. Amen? Isn't it important to know what's ahead of you? Sometimes, you know, it seems like things are hidden from us, and there are some things that are, you know, that God keeps secret from us, because if we knew the whole thing, we probably wouldn't go through with it. But at some point, he's going to reveal to you everything that you need to know about your future. Amen? Because he's got your future in his hands, right? We sing about that all the time. You know, he's got our future in his hands and so forth and so on, and we make those expressions of faith, you know, that we trust in God because he's got our future. Praise the Lord. But it's one thing for him to have it, it's another thing to, you know, for you to know what it is. Amen.
Yeah.
Because then you can aim for it. You can target certain things when you begin to know, you know, what your future is, what his destiny for you is. Praise the Lord. Verse 14 says, it says that the Holy Spirit will bring me glory by telling you whatever he receives from me. So you kind of see the order of things here. There's the Father, and there's Jesus, and there's the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the communicator for the things that the Father and that Jesus wants to get into your life. So important to have that connection, that divine connection with God through the Holy Spirit, because he's come to live in you to be that guide that brings you into the truth and begins to speak into your life. So if you pray and you don't hear anything back from God, maybe you should go back to the prayer, because he wants to talk to you. Prayer should be a communication. It should not be a monologue. I'm saying to God this and this, this and this, and then I hang up the phone and, you know, leave and don't receive anything. But you say, well, it takes some time. You know, I don't have time to sit around and wait for God to talk to me. You maybe should rethink that a bit. Because maybe you can't afford not to sit around and wait for him to talk to you. Maybe you would miss some missteps if you would just, you know, wait for God to speak into your life. Yes, I know it. And I know it takes devotion. And, you know, God is a gracious God. And many times he does stuff for us, even when we obviously don't deserve it. And when we haven't really lived for it and haven't really reached for it and haven't really extended a lot of faith for it. But don't just throw everything on the goodness of God. He is good. Don't get me wrong. He's awesome. He's patient. He's long-suffering, the Bible says. And for some of us, he's had to be really long-suffering. Praise God forever. And he's been faithful and long-suffering even when we were not faithful and not long-suffering. Amen? Praise the Lord. So then he says, all that belong to the Father is mine. This is why I said, the Spirit will tell you whatever he receives from me. The Spirit will tell you whatever he receives. Jesus, praise the Lord. That's a promise. You can take it to the bank. So you should be in expectation the next time you go to prayer that Jesus, through the Holy Spirit, that the Father, through the Holy Spirit, is going to reveal things to you. And those things will pertain to your future. Those things will pertain to your destiny. Those things will pertain to your life, things that pertain to your life and godliness. You should be expecting it every day to receive from him. Praise God. Now, back to the aspect of discipleship and following Jesus. You know, sometimes he had the disciples do things that they probably didn't like to do. And that's one of the issues that we have with discipleship. We want to do what we want to do, but Jesus has a way. Jesus has some methods. Jesus has some things to teach us. And so he was never put out when they went the wrong way or couldn't get the job done. They wanted to burn down a village, and he said he didn't think that was a good idea. Today you're not calling down fire. You're not Elijah. You're a disciple. You're not Elijah. Amen. Just figure out who you are and where you are in the scope of things, and you know everything's going to be good. But today we're not burning down villages, you know. Or when they were talking about, you know, I'm the greatest, he's the greatest, who's the greatest, I should be the greatest. You know, it's getting down where people live, where you and I live. It's our pride. It's our ego. It's our whatever, you know, it's going on in our heads at the same time and not getting the job done. You know, it's not following Jesus when we're like that. And he deals with that, and he begins to deal with those issues. I'm going to ask Sarah to come back up here and bring your mic with you. Let's talk about discipling just in a little way about things that you've learned along the way that maybe stuff you didn't want to do. So you were in YWAM for a number of years, mm-hmm. on the mission field, a young believer. So how long had you been saved before you went into YWAM?
About 3 years,
okay. So you had some things under your belt, right? Mm-hmm. You were ready to go to the mission field, and mm-hmm. your parents loved it, and they said you should go, right?
No.
They didn't love that?
They didn't love it. What are you doing? Yes, what are you thinking? Money doesn't grow on trees. You just got a degree, and now you're going off to where?
Yeah. So you had to fight a little bit of persecution from home. I mean, I guess you maybe wouldn't call that persecution. Probably godly, parental concern, at least, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. So you had to overcome some things right from the get-go. Mm-hmm. And then there was, how can you afford to do this, right?
Mm-hmm. So how... I had a church family that was only, that God just planted me in a short time of like less than 6 months, and they just really came around me, and they sewed into what I was doing, and so they supported me.
So it was a mirror from God,
yeah,
right?
Yeah,
so you had to walk by faith from the first
day. Amen.
Because daddy maybe paid for college, but he wasn't paying for this, right?
Correct.
Right, okay. So those are things that you had to learn right at the start. So mm-hmm. then you get to the mission field and everything is just really nice and easy, right?
No.
No? So what was the first obstacle you came up with?
The language,
okay.
Yeah, Spanish.
Okay, so you had studied Spanish.
I had, and I probably was had an old intermediate understanding of words and vocabulary and how to conjugate verbs, but when people learning in a textbook at you, and like I could control what I said, but I couldn't control how fast and the words that they use and the slang, and I'm like, I'm sorry, what? Mommy, viste, you know, because the Argentine Spanish is a bit different than standard Mexican or Spain Spanish. So.
Okay, so. Those are challenges, right?
Challenges, yes.
So to make it easier, for I never asked you to like interpret right away, or
I'm not sure. Within a few months, started.
Within a few months,
handing me the mic, yeah.
And you really wanted to do that, right?
No, I had a terrible fear of public speaking, so being up front was not a good thing for me.
So I suppose when they saw that, they just backed off and said, oh, that's okay, you'll get it, right?
No, sort of. They just pushed me, keep going. No, it's your turn, hand me the mic. Yeah.
Uh-huh. And how about preaching in Spanish?
Yeah, I did that when I was prepared and not prepared. I was telling somebody recently that we would pray on our outreach. Was after, so the 3 months theory phase and then 2 months of outreach. So on the outreach phase, we would have like an assignment. We'd be going to a church, you know, and doing a couple different things and a couple different services. And so we would pray in the team in our preparation meeting about who in the team was going to do what thing. Somebody needs to preach. Somebody needs to welcome. Somebody needs to give a message to the children. You know, different things. And we would just be quiet and ask God, you know, for each one of those assignments, roles. And so many times, everyone would say, "When was okay? Who's going to preach? Sarah, the Spirit of God saying Sarah." And it would be like night after night. And I'm like, I preached yesterday. Like, I hate public speaking. I'm yesterday. Like, this isn't fair. Spirit of God said. And it was almost like unanimous many times, like everyone's hearing. I mean, a lot of us were beginners in hearing God's voice, but no, it was clear, Sarah's preaching again, like, okay. So, yeah.
So that was easy on you, right?
That was easy. No, it wasn't.
And you probably prayed, God, please bring it on more, right?
No. I went to my leader sort of whining and poor me and, this isn't fair. I preached a lot already. And she said, maybe do you think this is something that God's working on with you? Because I said, well, he hasn't preached at all. And she said, he doesn't have a problem preaching. His problem is to be quiet. He's a hothead and he can speak off and he's, you know, God's dealing with him with pride. He has to be quiet while you're up there preaching. I'm like, I don't want to let him talk. He can talk fine. God's working on him on something different than what he's working on you. So you're going to preach if the Lord says you're going to preach.
So you had a leader that never accepted excuses?
Correct. Yeah. They didn't listen to my whining.
So those of you who have heard her preach, did it pay off?
Yes.
Oh, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise God.
Sometimes it's not easy, though, right? And sometimes people ask you to do things you don't like to do. Is there anything else that you can think of that you didn't like to do or didn't want to do that you were asked to do?
Be a leader. Like, you're going to lead the team. I was a student, but they were short for leaders. So they said, well, you're going to be like a co-leader with the other leader. And I was like, well, I'm a student. These are my peers. I was like terrified. So they said, no, you're going to lead. It's like, I am. You're going to lead and you're going to preach. And I was like always in the background. Like, I can serve. I can go and do the lights and do the serving and whatever needs to be done in the background. But like, don't. I was so insecure. Don't put me up front.
Wow. Welcome to the world of ministry.
I didn't choose this, but God did.
And welcome to the world of being a disciple.
Praise the Lord, yes.
So a lot of times things... But the reality is God's trying to grow us up.
Yeah.
And he knows what's good for us. He knows what's good for you. He knows how to mold us and how to shape our life for the destiny that he has for us.
Yeah.
And now, you know, years later, you can probably look back and you can see how God was little by little orchestrating all of that.
Yes.
And now you can minister like you minister, and there are still things ahead.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Praise the Lord. So like Jesus, we are totally dependent on the Holy Spirit speaking to us. You know, if Sarah hadn't had the Holy Spirit speaking to her along the way, she probably would have given up and quit. I mean, there's always a way to get a plane ticket home. Somehow. Praise the Lord. But sometimes when you're stuck in some place and... You know, you just have to use your faith to take the next step. It's a step of faith, but it's a step of growth as well. So at some point, you begin to get some breakthroughs. And I want to talk to you today about how to get those breakthroughs and use a Bible illustration. From the book of 2 Samuel, chapter 5, there's a story about David that really the term... breakthrough in the Christian sense really comes from this story. It's also, I think, in Second Chronicles, one of the chapters of Second Chronicles as well. And maybe there's a little more detail in the Second Chronicles version, but I'm using this one this morning. Second Chronicles chapter 5, starting with verse 17, said, when the Philistines heard that David had been anointed king, they mobilized their forces to capture him. But David was told they were coming, so he went into the stronghold. The Philistines arrived and spread across the valley of Rephaim. So David asked the Lord, should I go out to fight the Philistines? Will you hand them over to me? The Lord replied to David, yes, go ahead. I will certainly hand them over to you. So there you can see the beginnings of breakthrough. You can see the roots of breakthrough. The roots of breakthrough are in consulting God, consulting the Lord, asking him, coming to him, showing your dependence on him, and being willing to get his counsel, his advice. David could have just gone to all of his men. You know from the Bible that David had 400 men that were valiant fighters. They were amazing fighters. They were good troops. So he could have had amongst the leaders of his men, he could have just got them together and said, okay, guys, you know, this is what we have here. We have the Philistines all across the valley. We're outnumbered. What do you think we should do? But that's not what David did. He went to the Lord and said, God, what do you want me to do? Shall I go after him? Will you hand them over? Important questions, right? So when you have a challenge in your life, the first approach has to be to go to him. So then it says in verse 20, so David went to Baal Perazim and defeated the Philistines there. The Lord did it, David exclaimed. He burst through my enemies like a raging flood. So he named that place Baal Perazim, which means the Lord bursts through, or other translated, say the Lord breaks through. Excuse me a second. Or the Lord of the the Lord of the breakthrough. Verse 21, the Philistines abandoned their idols there, so David and his men confiscated them. The Bible says in 2 Chronicles that he took those idols and destroyed them. Praise the Lord. So, but this isn't the end of the story of breakthrough, because a breakthrough is not a total victory. A breakthrough means that you won a battle. But we want to go from breakthrough to victory in our lives. So verse 22 says, but after a while, the Philistines returned and again spread across the valley of Rephaim. So how many have experienced a time when you went to God, you got some kind of a breakthrough, and then the next day the devil showed up again? Everybody had that experience? Okay, so the issue is not just taking care of him today. He may come back, right? He may come back looking for you. You know, the Bible even says, you know, when demons are cast out of a person, that they go circle around somewhere in the air, and they come back looking for their house because they like their house. And rather than find another house, they'd rather come back to their house that they're comfortable in, you. And so the Bible says, you know, that we have to fill that vacuum, we have to fill that void with something, that someone, the Holy Spirit, in order for when the devil comes back, him not to find a home to lodge there. He may come knock on the door, but the word should answer the door. Amen? Praise the Lord. So then verse 23 says, and again David asked the Lord what to do. And the Lord said, do not attack them straight on. Instead, circle around behind them and attack them near the poplar trees. When you hear the sound like the marching feet in the tops of the poplar, be on the alert. And that will be the signal the Lord is moving ahead of you to strike down the Philistine army. So, both cases, you see David talking to God about his the issue, the enemy that he's facing, and he's getting feedback from the Holy Spirit to give him instructions on what to do. So the first time God said head straight on and go get him. The second time he said go around, come from the back and listen for the sound. Kind of reminds us, you know, of the believers in the early church, you know, waiting in Jerusalem till they received power from on high. What did they hear? They heard the sound of the mighty rushing wind. They knew that the Holy Spirit had just showed up. Amen. And the Bible says they began to speak with other tongues and as the Lord gave them utterance. So David did what the Lord commanded. And he struck down the Philistines all the way from Gibeon to Gezer. What an amazing, amazing feat. So this time he chased them all the way back to their own country, because Gezer or Gazer is part of Philistine territory in the Old Testament map. And he just chased him back to where he belonged. Amen? So that's what you got to do with the devil, with the enemy. Now we're going to take a look at a couple of points about that, but I just feel like the Holy Spirit is wanting to minister to some people. Let's just pray in the Spirit for just a minute. Sheke Bramikisto Alala Bahasa Mahasheki Stada Bahasa Kimasanda Sheke Mahasta Basanda Makero Damasha. There's somebody here, either here or in the audience, dealing with cancer. God is speaking to you in the name of Jesus. You are receiving a breakthrough. You are receiving a breakthrough today. And you're receiving a manifestation of the healing you've been believing for. And there's somebody with some heart issues, some heart palpitations, racing heart, maybe, is what I'm hearing. God is releasing his healing over into and through you right now, in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. There's somebody that's had some fevers on and off, you know, just can't quite get a handle on it. You know, it's probably not COVID, maybe just something else just attacking you. The Lord says that's the enemy. He's trying to get to you. He's trying to make you believe a lie. He's trying to make you believe something that's not true. He's trying to disturb you. He's trying to distract you, and he's trying to get you down. Don't let him do it. Just stop him in the name of Jesus. Just use the name. Just say the name. Just say the name of Jesus. Just say the name of Jesus when that fever comes, and it'll go immediately in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. All right, so let's take a look at some other points in the message. A little deeper look. So from this story of David from 2 Samuel, the scripture says in verse 23, and David asked the Lord what to do. And he said, do not attack them straight on. Instead, circle around behind and attack them near the poplar trees. So the first point is if you want a breakthrough, stay out of the rut. Don't get in the rut. Just because it worked some way last time is no indication that it's going to work exactly the same way this time. That's why you need to go to God, because you have to talk to him, find out his direction for this occasion, because this is a different occasion. God never or rarely does the same thing twice. I'm not saying he couldn't do the same thing twice, but rarely does it that way. If he moved one way last week in the church, you can be sure he'll move a different way this week. It'll be different. Praise the Lord. So our nature as humans is to want to do the same thing, you know, because that worked. Whatever works, you know, that's it. We got it now. But that can get you in a rut, and when you just get in a rut, it's probably not going to work for you the next time. So just keep your dependence on God, keep your communication with God, and keep working with him, working with the Holy Spirit. So, because it doesn't work this way with the things of God. David understood that every victory required a new instruction from the Lord. And it's the same with you. Every victory you get may require a new instruction from God. Some of it just requires follow through. If you didn't follow through on the first thing, then he's not going to give you the second thing. But if you follow through on the first thing and you do it faithfully and persist, you know, you'll get the victory, you'll get the breakthrough, and then God will take you on to victory if you keep following him, if you keep following his instruction. So many people, they seek God's, you know, initially they seek God's voice, and then when it works, you know, they keep trying the same thing, just thinking, you know, this is the Lord, but they fail to seek God about the next step. And that is, and that's a problem, because they think they've found the formula to success. I got it now. I got it down now. It'll work this way every time, but it doesn't. So the lesson in this message is really to seek God afresh about everything in your life and allow him to direct you on everything in your life. And then he's going to lead you from victory to victory, just like the Bible says. The second thing is that you need to operate in your ministry, your gifting, with excellence. You know, we know from the stories about David that when he faced Goliath, the Bible says that Goliath came out with a sword and a spear and an armor bearer, and David went to fight him with a sling and some stones. But initially, Saul tried to arm him with his armaments, with his shield, with his breastplate, and all of those kind of things. And David said, you know, I can't fight with this. I have to do it my own way. I have to do it with what I'm familiar with. I can't use your armor. And so a lot of times we work in somebody else's ministry. We try to do it like some other ministry. We try to imitate some other ministry or somebody, the way somebody else does something. And it's not the ministry that God has given us. It's not the gifting that God has given us. And so, like wearing the wrong kind of armor that we can't fight with. So in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 4, it says, now there are varieties of gifts, but the same Spirit. So just because your gift is different than somebody else's doesn't make it wrong, because it's the same Spirit of God that coordinates all the gifts of the Spirit. Verse 5 said, there are varieties of service, but the same Lord. Your service, your service of ministry might be different than somebody else's. It doesn't make it bad, doesn't make it wrong. But it's yours. It's uniquely yours because we have the same Lord. And there's the same varieties. And then verse 6 says, there are varieties of activities, but it is the same God who empowers them all in everyone. Each of us has to find the right place in the body and in the ministry to be used of God to the maximum, because he wants to coordinate us as a body. He wants to be the director in the life of the church. And so for this to work, we have to cooperate. But I want to do it this way, but I want to be that. It doesn't matter what you want to do or want to be. What God wants you to be is the key. It's the key to victory. It's the key to breakthrough. It's the key to keeping your breakthrough by operating in the ministry that God has given you, that God bestowed upon you. Now, sometimes we don't know what that looks like or what it is, and that's why we're being discipled. That's why we're being taught by others, because there's a variety of things you need to know to operate in your ministry. And if you don't know those things, the devil will corner you, and you'll be set back because you tried to use somebody else's ministry or imitate somebody else. I don't remember if it was Rod Parsley that told this story or somebody else, but Pastor Rod Parsley is a great pastor in Columbus, in Ohio. Maybe you've seen him preach before. He's an amazing, amazing preacher. I used to hear his sermons when I would pick him up at the airport and bring him to the church to minister at Dr. Summerall's church, and he'd be rehearsing his sermon in the back seat. And if somebody was talking, he'd say, "Would you guys shut up? Because I'm working on my message, you know, I'm working this out with the Holy Spirit." And then he would get up and preach a house on fire. But anyway, somebody told this story. It was about some Bible school students, and they had a particularly anointed instructor. Instructor had pretty long hair. I guess this was in the hippie days where Pastor Karen and I came from. But he had shoulder length hair, and when he get anointed, he'd swing that hair around like this, you know, like this. You know, just he had a mannerism, you know, and you know, the students liked it, and so, you know, pretty soon a lot of students were swinging their hair. And he said it all worked out really well until one student got up to preach, and the only problem was he was bald. But he was going, praise the Lord. So it's not wrong to, you know, to love somebody, to love how they're preaching mannerisms and so forth and so on. And a lot of times, you know, we do preach people that we see and so forth and so on. That's not necessarily wrong. But if it's not your gifting, don't try it, because it might fall flat, you know, like the bald guy swinging his hair there. So praise the Lord. So verse 6 says, there are varieties of operation, of working to accomplish things, but is the same God who inspires and energizing them all in all. That's from the Amplified. That's how the Amplified says it. In the Amplified, it says there are distinctive varieties and distributions of endowments or gifts. There are distinctive varieties of service and ministration or administration. And there are distinctive varieties of operation. So when you think about that, that's a lot of diversity in how ministry is done, how ministry is conducted, and how ministry works. And as you become a disciple, you learn and you grow and you find out how you fit in the picture, because the Holy Spirit begins to show you how he wants to mold your life and form you into the the minister or the disciple of Jesus that he needs you to be for the time that you live in and for the ministry that he's giving you. Praise the Lord. So the first thing was stay out of the rut. The second thing is operate in your ministry gifting with excellence. And the third thing is be ever ready and resolute. You know, a lot of people are not ready for anything. You know, maybe Sarah wasn't ready to preach the first day she arrived in Argentina, but she soon was equipped to be ready, and she learned that she had to be ready, instant in season and out of season. So 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1 says, I charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is the judge of the living and the dead, and by his appearing and his kingdom, preach the word, be ready in season and out of season, reprove, rebuke, and exhort with complete patience and teaching. For the time is coming when people will not endure sound teaching, but will have itching ears. They will accumulate for themselves teachers to suit their own passions, and they will turn away from listening to the truth and wander off into myths. So Paul is charging Timothy to be ready in season and out of season. So if you're going to go from breakthrough to victory, you not only have to stay out of the rut, and you only have to minister like the Holy Spirit wants you to minister in the giftings he's given you, but you have to be ready. And a lot of times we're just not ready for what's ahead of us. But the way to be ready is to be prepared. My pastor told the story. He said when he was in Australia, he didn't have a ticket to go from one certain city to another city. This was at the beginning of his ministry, and the Australians all thought he was a rich American, so they never gave him any offerings. So he didn't have any money to go buy the ticket. I mean, he was just flat broke at that point. Didn't have any money to go to the next city, and yet he had a ministry assignment there. And so when he got to his room, he started praying, and finally he said, you know, God, you have to provide this ticket for me. I don't have any way to get it. So I'll tell you what, I am not leaving this room until I receive the ticket. And he said, then I packed my bag, I packed my briefcase, put my hat and coat on top of my briefcase and my bag, and I stayed in the room. She said, the next morning, the lady of the house came and wanted to give me breakfast, and I said, no, I'm not coming down for breakfast. I'm not coming out of this room. And he said to God, I'm staying in this room till I have a ticket. And so presently, a big Australian gentleman came knocking at the door. And the woman said, I don't know if he's going to see you because he's not even. So she went up and asked, can you see this guy? And he said, well, I suppose he would let the guy in. And he came in. So this man says, if this doesn't work and if this isn't right, I will never serve God again. So he's thinking, okay, what's this about? This is crazy. He said, well, I wouldn't either. So he said, tell me your story. He said, well, the Lord told me that you didn't know that you needed a special reservation for the train that you're going on to the next city. Is that right? He said, yeah, that's right. I needed a special reservation. And you also need a special ticket. But we all know that you're rich, and we know that you don't need money, so you probably would have gotten a ticket. He said, no, I don't have a ticket. The guy broke down and started crying. He said, here are your tickets. Let's go to the train station. But he said, if I hadn't been packed and ready, we would have missed the train. So the moral to the story is be ready, ever ready, and resolute to be on the mission with God. Okay, so what do we have to take away from this morning? Let's just relate this back to discipleship. Reminder number one is we're supposed to follow Jesus, right? That's the first part of the definition of discipleship. It's the simple definition of discipleship is to follow Jesus. A disciple is someone who's following someone, right? So Jesus was never stuck in a rut. He listened to his Father, And he instantly obeyed. So if we're going to follow Jesus, we have to be like Jesus, right? We have to do what he did. Emulate his ministry. Work like he worked. Listen like he listened. Be ready to obey the Father when we hear the voice of the Spirit speak. Reminder number two. We are continually being changed by Jesus. Second part of the definition of a disciple. Being changed by Jesus. Doesn't mean that tomorrow I'm being changed today and that's the end of it. I'm being changed continually. So the day we meet Jesus will be being changed by Jesus. Because he's changing us from glory to glory. So it is by the ministry of the Holy Spirit in our lives that we're changed by Jesus. In 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 17, it says, Now the Lord is the Spirit, or some translations say, this Lord is the Spirit. And where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's freedom. And we all with unveiled face, beholding the glory of the Lord, or some translations say, reflecting the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from one degree of glory to another, or some translations say, from glory to glory, for it comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit. So we're being changed from glory to glory. We're being changed by Jesus, right? Through the power of the Holy Spirit and through the ministry of the Holy Spirit, we're being changed. That's why it's possible to be a disciple for Jesus and follow him and be continually changed by him, because we have the Holy Spirit to do that. If we were left to our own to do this, we would never make it. We'd never succeed being a disciple of Jesus. Final reminder, reminder number three, we are on mission with Jesus. That's the third part of being a disciple. Romans chapter 1, verse 14. I have a great sense of obligation to people in both the civilized world and the rest of the world, to the educated and the uneducated alike. So I am eager, or some translations say ready, to come to you in Rome too to preach the good news. For I am not ashamed of this good news of Christ. It is the power of God at work, saving everyone who believes, the Jew first and also the Gentiles. We're on mission with Jesus to take the gospel to our generation, our family, our neighbors, our friends, our non-friends, our enemies, our acquaintances, people out in the street, in the store, in the workplace, wherever we are, not be ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. So, follow Jesus, being changed by Jesus, being on mission with Jesus, that's what being a disciple is. Praise the Lord. So let's pray. Father, thank you for giving us a heart to follow after Jesus. And thank you for the awesome examples that we have in the Bible about people who followed you, about people who followed Jesus, and the outcome in their lives, Father. Sometimes, Father, they were martyred. Sometimes they were persecuted. But, Lord, they never gave up. They never gave in. They always stood against tyranny. They stood against the things that were wrong. And they came out winners with breakthroughs and victories, Father. Thank you, Father, that your word is working today. We ask you, Lord, that across our nation, across our state, in this city, Lord, that the power of the Holy Spirit would move once again in a spectacular way, so that people would come to Jesus by the hundreds and by the thousands and by the hundreds of thousands, Father. So that we would live in a time where we could say, Jesus gave us great victory. From breakthrough to victory, we have come. And for it, we thank you and we give you glory, honor, and praise. In Jesus' name. And everybody said.
Thanks for listening to this episode of My Father's House podcast. We hope you'll subscribe to hear our latest updates. My Father's House is a non-denominational Christian church located at 5712 Bass Road in Fort Wayne, Indiana. We invite you to visit us by checking schedule information at mfhfw.org. At our website, you can also support the work of My Father's House with your tax-deductible donation. We pray that you may prosper in all things and be in health, just as your soul prospers.